God is so good. God is so good. You know, I got to tell you something. There's a little two-letter word here that I just love. It's the word so. You know, I could say, Brother Jeff, I love you. But you know, it might mean something a little bit more if I say, I love you so much. Right? And the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, when we consider that, it should bring our hearts to say God is so good. Not just that God is good, but that God is so good. I can remember coming up singing that song, can't you? That God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Let me ask you a question. Is God still good when you've been laid off your job? Yes, He is. And there are some here tonight that are in that situation. Is God still good when sickness comes to visit? Yes. When death comes to family and loved ones, God is still good. You see, God has a good plan, and He's going to bring us to a good end, a desired end. Not something that's undesirable, but something that we desire. Something that when we get there, we're going to be really pleased with. And so tonight we can say with confidence that God is so good. I want us to look at several verses tonight, if we may. And in chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." And we'll continue into chapter 2. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Lord, bless this, the time in Your Word, to our hearts. Open the eyes of our spiritual understanding that we may see this truth. And Lord, encourage us tonight, we pray, through this time. in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I have encountered a good many people in the not too distant past who are struggling with the whole concept of the goodness of God. Sometimes because we have been dealt a raw deal, we think, and death has come to call to someone that we loved, or maybe a sickness has come to visit our household, or maybe we have seen a financial reversal, maybe we've been betrayed by someone that we loved and trusted. Whatever the case, there are some that are in the throes of angst and bitterness about their circumstances, and they're finding it very difficult to really, in their own experience, reason out that God is good, let alone so good. The truth is that when we focus in upon our trials and difficulties and do not focus in on the workings of God and what He has done for us, we will inevitably lose perspective and begin to wonder about that, perhaps, and maybe become very discouraged. You know, the fact is that God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Not just when we have money in the bank and toilet paper in the cupboard. Not just when we have a sack of rice and 100 pounds of beans in the silo to kind of see us over. No, God is good all the time. When there's very little to eat, when we're using paper towels in the bathroom because there's no toilet tissue and you were the last one in line at Costco, God is still good, isn't He? And I believe that we need to come to that place where we understand that God is good all the time, and whatever it is that we're facing that seems so hard to bear, even that is evidence of the goodness of God, because the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for what? For good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And so a good God is using even these circumstances that seem so perplexing to ultimately accomplish a good end for each and every one of us, though at this time it seems very difficult to understand. And so when we fail to discern the goodness of God because we're in the throes of difficult circumstances, it doesn't mean that God is no longer good just because you may not feel that way. You know, our feelings have very little to do. In fact, they have nothing to do with the nature and the character of our God. It is unchanging. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. And so I want us to see the ways in which God has been so good to us, and so that tonight we can have a great opportunity just to take a step back and gain perspective and rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, if you would with me, God is so good because of, we notice here, the difference. The Lord has made a difference in our lives that will last forever. The Lord has made a difference in our lives that will last forever. You know, I believe that as we began reading, we saw that the Bible told us there that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. And folks, I got to tell you, that statement right there tells us something about how good God really is. Because you know what? If we were redeemed by silver and gold, there would be a whole world of people that could not have redemption. This world is filled with those that are just living from one paycheck to the next. And if they had to come up with the means to purchase redemption, they could never do so. And so I'm glad that the Lord didn't redeem us that way. Amen. He made it possible for everybody to be redeemed. He redeemed us through the precious blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us. And the reason why He did that is because He loved us. He loved us. For God so loved the world. He so loved us. You know, I like that verse in John chapter 13 that said, having loved His own that were in the world, He loved them to the end. To the end. There was never a stopping point, you see. It was just something that was a part of the nature of God to bestow love. And what a difference that love has made in our lives. You see, when we were in sin and woefully undone and hell was our fate, the Lord came to rescue us. He gave Himself for us to make that eternal difference for each and every one of us. And I want you to understand that the Bible reveals very plainly that this difference that He made is not just to try to dress up the old person that we were and so that we could kind of walk the same walk but maybe have better digs and maybe a little more money and some more friends down at a church house. No, you see, the Lord caused us by a work of regeneration to be born again. And with that, we were completely transformed. The Lord didn't just make the old man new. He made us a new creation in Christ. And so the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That means that we are the created handiwork of God. He made us a brand new creature. He didn't just clean up the old guy. And so you may have had some great qualities before you came to faith in Jesus Christ, and that's all well and fine. But I want you to understand that apart from Christ, all we like sheep had gone astray. We had turned everyone to his own way. And look, God hath laid upon him the chastisement of us all. And what we need to understand is this, that there was nothing about us that was redemptive, that the Lord should set His love and affection upon us. God did so because He is love. It's His nature to love. And what He did was He called us His own. He made us a part of His family. And that's why it says being born again, not of corruptible seed. You see, we're not born again by the seed of man, but by the incorruptible seed of God, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And by this we know and understand that we have been made partakers of a divine nature. The Bible reveals such in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How did I receive a divine nature? The very nature of God. Well, that happened at the new birth. When He made me alive, I was not given a life that cleaned up the old man. I was given the very life of God. And hence the term eternal life, because eternality belongs to God and God alone. It's one of His divine attributes. No beginning and no end. And it is true what is said. He gave His life for us, that He might give His life to us, that He might live His life in us, so that He could live His life through us. He gave His life to us, that for us, that He may give His life to us, that He might live His life in us, that He might live His life through us. And I want you to understand, we have a new life in Jesus Christ. We have a new eternal destiny, and that will live and abide forever. There are some that have mistakenly thought that if they did some terrible sin after they professed faith in Jesus Christ, that they were going to lose their salvation. But my friend, the seed by which we are born, it liveth and abideth forever. It can't be any more dogmatic than that. We know that we have life and that we have it everlastingly and that we have it eternally. What a difference He has made for us, not just in this life here below, but in an eternal destiny. We were destined for hell, and the Lord changed the course of our eternal destiny. And I want you to know that He's made all the difference in each and every one of our lives. And the Bible says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. We didn't even have a desire to do that apart from Jesus Christ. Did you know that? And so what a difference He's made in our lives. Sometimes I'll hear people talking that have been raised in a in a staunchly Christian home, and they never really had a crime to Christ sort of a testimony. And I know some folks that are like that. There was nothing that was really glitzy or perhaps worthy of being made into a movie, you know. But the fact is, they came up in a good, solid Christian home, and they never really got into drinking and drugging and all the things that sometimes people will do. And I've heard somebody like that say, you know, the Lord delivered me from a life of drugs and alcohol. And people look at them and say, you were an alcoholic or you were a drug addict? And they say, no, God delivered me from that. He saved me from that life when He changed my destiny forever and gave me a new nature that is incorruptible. And I am born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, God's made all the difference in our life, hasn't He? And you know, maybe I haven't gone through some of the things that you've gone through. Perhaps you haven't gone through some of the things that I've gone through. We can maybe get together someday and compare scars and talk about how good God is. But the reality is, you know, it doesn't matter how many scars we have. It doesn't matter what we've been through. The Lord has saved us. He's made a forever difference. And it's simply because He loves us so much. He loves us so much. You know, I like that verse in Ephesians that said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. It was a great love that He loved us with. Not just kind of some casual sort of a puppy love type of thing. You fall in and out of. No. It was something that God promised to us and He bestowed upon us. I want you to notice not only in this passage the difference, but we see the desire. And the Bible says, wherefore, in chapter 2 and verse number 1, because we've been saved, because our lives have been transformed, because God has loved us like this, and because He's so powerful, He's changed the course of our life and made that a forever difference, wherefore? So, because of that, what should we do? Laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. God's placed within our heart the difference or the desire to feed on the Word of God. The believer in Christ should have a desire to feed on the Word of God. I have to just pause for a moment and say one of the things during this season of time that I've been a little concerned about, and that is that there are some folks that perhaps are not really going to the diligent effort to listen to the preaching and teaching on the Word of God, so they're just kind of logging on and looking for anything that sounds good or feels good. And you know, the book of Proverbs says that to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And sometimes when we're really hungry for something to feed our souls, oftentimes we'll settle for that which is not really good for us because it kind of fills up the empty place. And the fact of the matter is that it's ultimately going to make you sick. And I've found, even from talking to a number of folks that are spending a lot of time on the internet these days, that they're visiting sites that I would deem highly questionable. They're finding quotes that, although that one quote may be a positive quote or something that we could support, it comes from someone who is preaching a message that is totally divergent to what the Bible teaches. And I think that it behooves us in these days to be discerning and to have a desire to feast on the things that are well-pleasing to the Lord and will help us to grow up into the measure of a perfect man, into the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, even as we read in Ephesians chapter number 4. And the only way that that's going to be accomplished in our lives is as we have a desire in our heart to, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. I know some folks, sad to say, that have been saved for decades and they're just little children They're like a child in their spiritual understanding. Very little discernment about the deep things of the Lord. And they kind of live their life on a very elementary spiritual level. And when trouble comes to visit, they seem shaken just like someone, perhaps, that doesn't even really know the Lord. Because they've never delved into the Word of God to nourish their soul with its truth so that they could gain the nutrients by imbibing of Jesus Himself so that they could grow thereby. You know, I want to tell you this, that if a baby comes into the world and never grows, that's a problem. That's a problem. If you have a baby, now I have six grandchildren. I love them very, very much. And I was excited yesterday to FaceTime for a little bit with my grandchildren in California. And how fun that was. They're growing way too fast, by the way. But you know, if a child came into the family and that child just never seemed to thrive, never seemed to grow, we would say there's something desperately wrong here. And yet, when someone is born into the family of God, it ought to be just as concerning to us that they don't seem to be growing, that they don't seem to be maturing in their Christian life. And perhaps they are not really feeding on the Word of God. They don't seem to have that desire for the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you something. I said this earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And what I've discovered is that when someone becomes a believer in Jesus Christ, sincerely, everything changes. You see, there's a change in the way that they view the Church of God. Instead of it being just organized religion that gets together and all they want is my money, all of a sudden it becomes brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's a great big old family of people that want to be a blessing and a help and a place where I can find encouragement and strength in the Lord. They've changed their perspective about the Church of the Living God. You know what? Before, maybe they viewed preaching as a bunch of nonsense and foolishness and a bunch of rantings of self-centered people that were a little too ambitious. But the reality is that when Christ came to take up residency within them, all of a sudden it became the power of God unto salvation. The preaching of the cross is to them which perish foolishness, but unto us which are believed, it is the power of God. And so what we once thought was foolish, now we cleave to because it's a part of the process whereby we're growing in the Lord. I think about people that used to look at the Word of God, and maybe before they got saved, they thought, well, you know, that's an old book. It's hard to understand. There's a lot of pages. There's old words in it, and that's how they viewed the book. And now that they're saved, they see it as a love letter from God to them. Now, I want to tell you that when Linda and I were dating, she lived in Arizona and I lived in California. And one of the ways that we stayed connected with each other, of course, was through email and also through telephone. But one occasion, Linda purchased two beautiful leather-bound journals. And on that, it was the occasion of my birthday, and she gave me a beautiful leather-bound journal. And at that time, she gave me a beautiful pen. And when she gave me the journal, she said, I want you to know that I've purchased a journal for myself, just like the one that I've given to you. And what I'd like to do so that we can grow in our understanding of one another and what the Lord is doing in each of our lives separately is to journal every day about what God is teaching us and what He's revealing to us. And then when we're able to meet back together, let's exchange journals so that we can get a window into the other person's heart. That way we're not just knowing each other on a surface level, but we can become more acquainted on a deep level, on a spiritual level. And I got to tell you, there were times where when she would come to her sister's house and I'd go to pick her up, she'd hand me that journal, and man, I could not wait for the opportunity to dig into that journal. Because here's a woman that I had fallen in love with. And here's a woman that wanted to know me. And I thought that was wonderful. And she wanted me to know her. And that made it doubly wonderful. And she had put her thoughts and things that she thought would be consequential that she wanted me to know and understand about her relationship with the Lord. And as I dug into that, I'm going to tell you something. No one had to coax me to do that. And I didn't just read it once and set it aside. I want you to know I picked that journal up and I read it and I reread it and I dog-eared the pages and I didn't highlight over where she had written. I didn't want to defile the beauty of the text. But the fact was that I wanted to read it. There was a desire in my heart because of love, and the result of that was this, that we began to grow and mature as a couple and in our relationship with one another and with God. And one of the ways that we grow in our relationship with God is as newborn babes to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? That we can grow thereby. And you know what? God knew that it would be an anomaly for someone to be born and not grow. And because He's so good, He gave us everything that we might need to be able to grow up in Him. You know, I think that not only should we have a desire to feed on the Word of God, but there should be a corresponding desire in our heart to put away any of the things that would hinder our growth in the Lord. And I can remember many years ago when my oldest child, Jonathan, was just a little guy. And I was keeping him for a couple of days. And I don't even remember what the occasion was. But I was being super dad for a couple of days. And he was just a little shaver. And I can remember I was, you know, trying to think about ways to feed him. And he was just starting to eat things from off the table. He was still eating a little bit of baby food. But he was kind of in that transitional place. You know what I mean? And so I was trying to think of good things that I could give to him and things that would be real nourishing. And I went to the grocery store and wasn't really flush with cash. And I found some grape juice on sale. And it was a great deal. So I bought a couple of bottles of grape juice over at the grocery store. And I noticed that they had yogurt, blueberry yogurt, on sale at the store. I think it was like 12 for a dollar or something like that. And so I thought, you know what? He doesn't have to chew this up. I don't have to cut it up for him. This would be super. Maybe this would be a good thing for him to eat. So I bought some yogurt. I thought that'd be a good thing. I could feed him. He's getting some protein and then he's getting some fruit juice. He's getting some vitamins that way, and that'd be great. But you know, nobody ever told me that I needed to kind of cut that grape juice down. Maybe I put half water in there. So I'm giving him just pure unfiltered grape juice and I'm giving him this yogurt. And so he's sitting there and in that high chair, and I'm feeding him one spoon right after the other of that, and he's taking that sippy cup, and man, he's just down, and more, daddy, more. And so, man, I don't know how many sippy cups full of that grape juice he drank, but it was pretty good. I'm thinking, man, he's loving this. This is great. You know, this is wonderful. You're such a good eater, just like your daddy, you know. And then he's, man, and I fed him two or three containers of that blueberry yogurt. So now he's full of everything purple. And he's down all this pure grape juice and all of this blueberry yogurt. And I'm sitting there and I'm oohing and aahing and goo-gooing and being super dad, you know, and he's sitting there. And all of a sudden, you know, I start hearing some rumblings in his tummy. And it reminded me of Winnie the Pooh. His tummy was rumbly tumbly, but it wasn't because he was hungry for honey. and I kind of saw him, and he kind of got this look on his face. And before I knew what happened, Jonathan was projectile vomiting purple stuff. Looked like cottage cheese. All over daddy, all in my mouth. I'm like, ooh, goo, goo, ga, 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 can you say dada? You know, and just when I opened my mouth to say dada, and then it was projectile vomiting right in my face and all over me. And the fact is that, I may have thought that was the best thing for him, but you know, it was not something that he was going to be able to hold down. The truth is that there are certain things that we shouldn't be as newborn babes trying to ingest. And we need to say, look, I'm going to put away any of the things that would be a hindrance to me feasting on the sincere milk of the Word that I might grow thereby. Reminds me of a lady that I met a couple of years back who had a new women's Bible. It was a women's devotional Bible. And she came and was so pleased about her new purchase and wanted to show it to me. And I was outside in the courtyard on a Sunday morning and was standing there, and I was impressed with this beautiful Bible. It was nicely bound. It was well put together, and there were some great notes. And I just said, tell me about where you're reading in the Scriptures. And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, what passages are you reading in the Bible that the Lord's really speaking to your heart from? And she said, well, I'm not really reading the Scriptures. I'm mostly just reading the devotionals in the margins. And I said, well, you know, I said, I'm glad you have a desire to grow in the Lord, but I want to tell you something. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And so God wants us to have a desire for Him because He's good and He wants to have a good relationship with you. He wants to have a growing relationship with you. And so we need to understand this. Thirdly, I want you to notice not only the difference that He's made in the desire that we should have, but notice the discovery. The Bible says this in verse 2 again, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, when a person seeks a relationship with God through His Word, you know what they find out? He is so good. He's so good. They begin to see it. And the Bible says in Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when we desire to be nourished from the truth of the Word of God, what we discover is that God is really good. We get to know Him through His Word. I know you've heard this said before, but it bears repeating. And that is that if we could turn this book into a person, we would have Jesus. And if we could turn Jesus into a book, we would have the Bible. And so if you want to know Him in intimacy, you can discover Him and His goodness through His Word. And when we dig into that Word of God, that's precisely, it says, if so be, if you have dug into the Word of God, if you have tasted of the Word of God, you're going to discover that the Lord is gracious. You know what that means? It's another way of saying He is so good. God is so good. You know, the Word of God will give us that perspective that we need to face the things that would lead the casual Christian to doubt the goodness of God. You see, a casual Christian that never read Romans chapter 8 with any understanding would be confronted with the coronavirus and a job layoff and a financial reversal and think that it's the end of the universe. But those that are seeking the Lord through His Word, although it's going to impact their lives, even though there's a palpable, measurable shock wave that comes into their lives, no doubt. But you know what? They can take perspective and they can day by day get through this without the world falling apart because they know, look, God didn't bring me this far just to dump me on my ear. He's a good God and He's got a good plan for my life. It may be, I don't know, it may be for some who have got laid off and we're sorry about that over these next 4 months you file for unemployment and then you take advantage of the bailout bill and they give you an additional $600 per week on top of that and you wind up bringing home more than you would have had you been full-time employed and you get to reconnect with your family and maybe take care of some of that honey-do list while you're social distancing and you come to the end of it all and you say, glory to God, I have more money than I imagined that I would and my house is cleaner and my kids are more well-balanced and you know what? My job is calling. They want me to start back on Monday. Folks, listen, I don't know but what that's going to be your experience. But here's what I do know. Whatever it is that you're going through, God is good and He has intended this for your good. And when you dig into the Word of God, you find a perspective that helps you to keep that in plain view. And folks, that's important. You'll discover through a study of this Word how good God really is. If so be, it says, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You found that He is so good. I want you to know, fourthly, not only do we notice the difference He's made because He loves us and the desire that we have to enter into a relationship with Him that will help us to grow and the discovery that we make when we dig into the Word of God about His goodness. But notice the delight, the delight. The Bible says in verse 4, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones or living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Verse 9 says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." And I want you to know something that's awesome. Here's the delight. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God didn't just create you to just kind of get involved in the rat race and then die and die like a dog and you cease to exist. No, God has an eternal purpose and God has a for now purpose for your life. And He has a place for you in His own building project. You know, He's the chief cornerstone. But what He's planned for you is to be built up on Him, the foundation of our lives. And here we're called the living stones that make up a habitation for the Lord. Ephesians reiterates that. And we know that what Peter says here, Paul is underscoring to the Ephesian believers that the church is made up of living stones that comprise a habitation for the Holy Spirit. And so we know that we are a part of God's building program. We are valuable to God. And in the economy of God, He has placed you where you are at such a time as this for a very specific purpose. And we can take delight in knowing that God placed us here as a valued and a cherished child of His, now a royal priest, to be able to make sacrifices that would be acceptable unto God in this time. It might be just simply the sacrifice of praise, that is giving the fruit of our the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name in a time where it seems like there might be very little to give Him praise for. You know, I think that sometimes people get carried away with, you know, the whole idea of getting your praise on. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, this is a good time to flat out just get your praise on, all right? And right there, get your church on and just lift up some praise to the Lord for how good He has been to you. And for however difficult your life may seem to be at this moment, no matter how hard it seems to be staying pent up in the house and dealing with the kids and worrying about the financial future, I want to tell you something, that there's a world of people out there that would gladly trade places with you every day of the week and twice on Sunday. And listen, God is good to us all the time. And I want you to know He's got a purpose even in this for your life. And you know what? When we believe it, we'll see that He is precious. The Bible says this in verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious." What a delight He is to you. You know, if you don't believe, if you don't have faith in the fact that God is working all things out for your good, then you know what? You're not going to think He's all that precious. You're not even going to think He's so good. You might think, well, He's a good God to you know, somebody else. Maybe to Paula, you know, she's nice and can sing pretty. Or, you know, maybe He's going to be nice to Andy. She can play the piano and she's such a dear heart, you know. And Lori here, she is just one of the most wonderful people that God ever made. And you know, I'm sure that God is going to be precious in her experience. But, you know, God's good. But listen, when you believe, when you take His word by faith, you know what you come to the conclusion of? He's precious. And He is the delight of your life. He's the delight of your life. I want to say lastly that we notice this, the decision. We've seen the difference and the desire, and notice the discovery that we make and the delight of finding Jesus to be truly precious by faith. But, you know, this comes about because of the decision. You've had to have made a decision to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. It wasn't something that anyone forced upon you. It was something you had to choose for yourself, even as we mentioned in the service this morning. But I think it is important that we see this in verse number 7. It says, "Unto you therefore which believe He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." You see, God is calling us to, as obedient children, determine to follow Him and live the life that He has provided to us and enter into the purpose that He has for us. Folks, it's a choice simply to obey or to disobey. To obey or to disobey. I have a dear friend who perhaps may be watching tonight who accepted the Lord as Savior and had to make a trip to another country. And while he was in that other country, he attended a church with some family. And they were preaching about the subject of baptism. And this person had been saved but never baptized and was convicted about their need for baptism and went forward to speak to a counselor. And the counselor said, really God's plan and His will for your life would be, now that you're saved, is for you to get baptized. And he said, "Well, why don't you do that?" And the man said, I don't think I'm ready yet. And the counselor kind of made him do a double take, because the counselor just looked him in the eye and said, "It's not a matter of ready or not ready. It's a matter of obedient or disobedient. It's a matter of submission or rebellion. So are you going to submit to God's will, or are you going to rebel against it? Are you going to obey God's will, or are you going to disobey God's will? This isn't a matter of ready or not ready." The truth is, our lives are filled with daily choices, decisions that we must make. And we must choose to live the life that He has called us to. This all began by us choosing to bring our will into conformity with His will for our life. And we discovered the goodness of God, because our eternal destiny was forever changed. Our lives were forever changed because of His great love wherewith He loved us. But do you know, we must choose to live out the gospel and not just remain as newborn babes, but grow up and mature in Him, that we can enter into all of the fullness and potential of what God is calling us to in His purpose and plan for our lives. And you know what? When we believe it, we have trust, then we will obey. I like that hymn, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." When you obey Him and you walk in His will because you've made the decision to do so, you know what? Every day you'll have a new opportunity to discover that God is so good. If you're not finding that in your experience, it's not because God has ceased to be good. It's because we have ceased being obedient and making the choice to live the life that He calls us to. And so, at the end of it all, we can say and know that God is so good. He is so good.